Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal, you are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new Timber Tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
Great to have with us Trooper Cindy Schick. She's the Public Information Officer, Community Service Representative for the Pennsylvania State Police, Troop E. Trooper Schick, good to see you.
Hello.
Glad that you're here. Our topic is not a fun one. We're talking about scams. And let's get right into it here. I want to ask you about what is your evaluation of the sophistication and the prevalence of scamming of all types here in your district?
We see an increase over the years in different types of scams. The big one that we're really seeing is the gift card scams. Now that it's tax season, we're going to see the IRS scams and all that coming through. During COVID, of course, a lot of scams involving, you know, unemployment benefits and things like that. But those have kind of tapered off. But again, we're looking at the gift card scams that are coming in quite frequent.
Is it almost always start with a phone call?
Usually, or a letter, something in the mail that someone might get saying that they won something maybe and they need to send payment in or contact a number. It could be an email. It could be a text message. All of us receive those scam calls or those scam text messages on our phone.
And people, I mean, I guess it's the tiny percentage, but some people fall for that text. Like, if it's a text and it says it's from my bank or a bank, it must be real, right? I mean, there's almost like this, you tell me, is there this almost trust factor if it comes over your phone?
I agree with you. Yes, I believe there's a trust factor there. And unfortunately, like you said, some people do fall for it. And then once they're scammed out of that money, a lot of times we can't solve those crimes and they're just going to be out, especially if it involves that gift card, because there's no way of tracing that once it goes through.
What is the relevant laws that come into play? I'm interested in like finding out how much of this is like a federal crime, state crime. You know, tell me about the lay of the land on a law basis.
We will look into them. But again, like I said, it's hard to track down these actors that are doing them. A lot of times they might be from a different country. So to get that information and to be able to even arrest that person, if we were able to find that individual, would be almost near impossible because of like the extradition laws. If it's a huge type of scam, I'm sure it's going to go to a different level with maybe a different department. A lot of times the banks, if you fall for these scams, might have something that out there to protect you, may reimburse you for the money, but that's not guaranteed.
And sometimes it all depends on your homeowner's insurance. I've noticed that. I think I have an extra rider to almost protect me a little bit against some of this stuff that might come up. Or you know, ransomware, and we can get into a lot of that later. But, you know, you almost have to have protection anymore because it is so dicey out there.
And I agree. I mean, if it's too good to be true, we try to tell people, then it's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. So nobody is giving away free money. And if they are, I'm unfortunate. I haven't found that person yet. I'm sure you haven't found that person yet either. So we try to remind people of that. If you are entering a prize or a contest, you might get a prize. But if you're not entering a contest, then, of course, how are you winning a prize? We'll get people that fall for scams like that. You know, they receive a letter. It says they won whatever amount of money, maybe thousands of dollars, and then they ask for the people that send that letter out, ask for them to return the letter with a sum of money.
Yeah, like whenever there's money coming from you to somewhere else, that's almost the instant red flag, correct?
Correct.
I mean, because if you really want something, there should be no obligation on your part.
Exactly.
Interesting. Let's talk about why do you think it's become growing and growing now? Are the scammers getting more sophisticated, or are there more channels that they can use these days? Like you were saying, you could text, you can phone, you send any letter or what have you.
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, there are lots of avenues. We're all connected to our devices. Even the elderly are connected to devices. Maybe it's not a smartphone, but still a text message from a regular phone. It could be a scam. Our older generation is maybe too trustworthy, and that seems to be where our scammers are focusing at. They know that they're probably retired, collecting a retirement, live alone, probably don't have many bills, have some extra money laying around. So they work on them and try to get them to send their money, and then obviously they would fall victim to being.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the ways that the scammers are using here. I think the one that was in the big one that was in the paper was something about a Microsoft representative. Can you talk about, you don't have to be specific about specific cases, but you know, what are some of the ways that they trick these folks?
Through the computer, so that Microsoft software or virus protection, probably some type of thing. Okay. So they would get a phone call. And, you know, they'd be afraid that their computer's going to crash, or if they didn't take action, then they're going to lose their computer. So these people would fall for whatever that person on the other line is saying and type in certain information that they're being told, and then that person gains access to their computer, which then essentially could gain access to their bank accounts if all that's in there. Way above my intelligence level.
Wow.
But there's people out there that can do that.
Yeah, the criminally minded. Oh my gosh. And it sounded like for this particular one, it was the original scammer identified themselves, according to David Bruce's reporting in Go Erie, as a Microsoft company agent. And then they said, well, you're in trouble with the IRS or with the Treasury. Like they're just kind of ringing all the scare bells for that victim, it sounds like.
Yep. So they'll use many different tactics. Scare tactics are a big one. Pressure them, especially if they're not getting where they want to be. So if someone's not falling for it initially, then we'll throw another scare tactic out to try to get them. For example, I mean, we'll get people that call and say, you know, the state police just called me and they said I'm going to be arrested unless I give them so much money. We don't make those types of calls. And quite honestly, if we have a warrant for you, it's usually a surprise that we show up and grab you, not that we're going to call and warn you. So you can hide. So different things like that. Just be alert. If it's a red flag, you believe it's a red flag, trust your gut, and then don't give that information out to these people. Hang up. If you feel that you have a warrant or something out there for you, actually drive to that location. Talk to a real police officer that you can see in front of you.
I mean, have you actually had people show up at the barracks saying, hey, I you know, they're saying that there's a warrant out for me, and I don't know what this is about. I mean, literally people that could have been a victim of a scam?
I don't know if they've actually shown up, but I know that we have received calls in reference to that. So
that's unbelievable when you think about it, you know. And again, it's generally the elderly that get targeted. But honestly, with some of these texts and things, just about anybody could fall for at least like a ransomware kind of thing, right?
Yep, I agree. I'm sure your listeners, many of them have received the same type of text that I've received. You know, your package, there's a problem with your package. Click on this link, or, you know, something through Amazon. Click on this link. And just don't fall for those, because that's not how they're going to contact you. You can watch your tracking when you order things. So I just encourage you do it that way. It's the proper way, instead of clicking on these links that are coming through from some unknown number. I mean, I get scam text daily. I just received a few more today.
Did you really?
So I don't open them if I don't know who they belong to. I don't answer any phone calls that if I don't recognize the number. If it's important enough, in my opinion, they'll leave a voicemail and then you can call them back.
Yeah, those are really good tips for playing defense, of like maybe not even getting giving access that you could get scammed. But really, like the do not call list or any of that stuff, is any of that really effective anymore?
I personally don't believe so.
Really?
Because it's these numbers, your numbers are just getting sent out or sold, whatever they choose to do. And then you're receiving, I mean, I receive more scam calls than I do actual calls.
Oh my gosh. And you're a state trooper. Trooper Sydney Schick is with us here from Troop E of the Pennsylvania State Police. It's, you know, you used to think, well, why are you even calling me? Because I'm on the do not call list. But they can grab your number a lot of different ways. One of the things that I've kind of noticed is I don't sign up for anything like at some kind of expo or fair, or you know, I don't go to the county fair and sign up to win the car, because generally that a lot of times that's gonna, you know, get me all kinds of solicitations that I'm not interested in. Is that a tactic of defense, do you think?
I think what you're doing is great. I'm the same way. I don't sign up for any of that. Because once again, I mean, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. You know, they're really giving away cars at every fair. I can't really confirm that, but I can't guarantee it either.
Yeah. Well, you even, there's been some litigation over, you know, fraud that sometimes has happened in the past. Talk about... are there tools that you guys recommend for blocking calls or blocking ads or anything like that? Is there anything that you guys have seen actually works at Pennsylvania State Police?
Just again, just be cautious. And we recommend that, you know, don't open up emails from people that you don't know. If they're unexpected emails, I mean, I don't open up the ads. We, you know, I'm sure you receive ads through your email.
Sure.
And then with the calls and stuff, if it is an unknown number, you can block it. But what they're doing is they'll just find a different number to call you from. So a lot of these numbers aren't even the actual number. So they use like that spoofing and things like
that.
Sure.
Well, what has seemed to calm down is I used to get phone calls that, hey, you just called me. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And somebody would have they grabbed my number, spoofed my number, and made a ton of phone calls that way, and that's kind of crazy. That seems to not happen, but I do get a lot of calls from certain locales that seem to be where they choose to generate their spam numbers. So your advice is, if you don't know the person on the other line, don't pick up.
I agree. Yep, that's the best advice, I think.
Okay. What else? What are we missing here, Trooper? You know, as far as other tactics, if they got you on the phone, I mean, what do you suggest? I mean, you suggest really hanging up, right?
I would hang up. I've personally hung up on people. You know, there's been times where maybe I am expecting a call and I'm assuming I'm not going to recognize the number because maybe it was, you know, something looking at a car or maybe taking out a loan of some sort. So I'm expecting a call, so I answer, and then when I realize that's not what I wanted, I hang up, and I would agree that is the best way to...
Yeah, don't even engage into a conversation. Have you had any complaints where they just keep nagging you, or they think that they have a good mark that they keep pounding it? Because when I had a landline, I got constant phone calls talking about, you know, my software, and it was a lot of times they were even electronic calls, right?
I mean, most of our calls are very similar. You know, they call, they pressure them, they want money, some type of money, some type of payment. And again, whether it's them sending money over the phone through a bank card or guiding them to go to a store to buy gift cards, and they'll keep you on the phone when they do that. So, you know, they want you to buy large increments of gift cards for just weird things. Maybe it'd be an Amazon card or whatever it may be.
Like a Visa gift card kind of thing too sometimes?
Possibly. I mean, and then they'll say maybe you owe them money. They'll even say bills, your electric bills due, past due, or whatever. It may be a fine that you have to pay or you're going to go to jail. And then people, again, they fall for that. I know I've noticed that some stores have systems now in their registers to where it flags them so they can only purchase so many gift cards at a time. For an example, when I was off duty one time, went to an area dollar store, get personal things, and a gentleman in front of me was purchasing large gift cards in the quantity of $500.
Oh, my.
And I didn't tell him
at a dollar store.
Didn't tell him who I was, but yes. He got denied and wanted to go to the next register. And I said, sir, I think you're being scammed. Of course, he didn't want to hear anything about that. But I truly believe that man was scammed, and that's what people are doing, things like that.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's going on in the victim's mind that they would be so persistent. I mean, they must be so locked by fear about whatever that scammer's telling them, right?
Or the excitement that they won this huge amount of money, you know? I have to send this or else I'm not going
to
get my $4,000.
$4,000 to get the million. Oh, my gosh. That's insane.
Another big one, too, I don't know if you've ever heard of these, the romance scams. You know, they get involved in obviously it's a fake relationship with someone, you know, from a different country. And again, same thing, get them to send them money, send them cards. You know, I need help, I need rescued, save me so I can get over to you, to the United States, things like that. And people do fall for that. And unfortunately, again, large quantities of money.
We're talking about scams and scamming on this Tuesday edition of the Joel Natale Show. Trooper Sydney Schick is the public information officer and community service officer with Troop E of the Pennsylvania State Police, you know, based right there in Lawrence Park and in Meadville and over the northwest corner of the state here. And scammers are getting sophisticated, Trooper, right? I mean, right before the break, we were mentioning these romance scams, and basically somebody somehow finding a mark, what, through Facebook Messenger or some kind of a match.com or something like that, or
probably a little bit of both, the dating sites,
apps,
and then
yeah.
Of course social media has a lot of it perks, but also it has some a downside as well if it's not used properly, and unfortunately
wow.
We get people that become victims on there.
And is it generally is it generally women that are scammed, or are both men and women scammed in this regard, do you think?
We've seen both, but I would say it's more men with the romance scams than women. Not saying that the women, again, aren't falling victim. We do
yeah.
get women victims.
But so you'll have a lonely man and some nice woman is starting to talk to him, and then all of a sudden she's asking for money, huh?
Well, and that's, again, another thing. Is it really a woman on the other line? Or is
of course.
You know?
It's just somebody play acting.
Yep.
Wow. That's so again, the vulnerability, it's all about the emotions, right? Whether it's fear, right? We were talking off air. It could be, how many times have we heard about the scam of they know that the your cousin's name or your nephew's name? Or your grandson's name, and they're in jail and they need bail, and it's like it's a quick hit. But isn't it weird when they ask for Amazon cards or Apple gift cards or something silly like that, right?
Yeah, that is odd, because they know that they can't be traced. So
is that what that is?
And that they're easy accessible at all stores really now.
What about this Bitcoin thing that kind of came up in the recent Wattsburg case? Is that an instant no if somebody's asking for money in Bitcoin?
That would be a red flag to me. We really don't see much of Bitcoin. So that, again, why are they asking for this? You know, so you should ask yourself questions and then, again, hang up that phone or discontinue that conversation.
That really, you have to almost break the cycle of the emotion and kind of say, okay, you know, I'm going to have to think about this and click. And let your head clear a little bit, or call your closest loved one and say, hey, I got this call. Does that sound legit to you? Right?
Correct. And then again, if it was that easy to get funds or to win prizes, then we all would be doing it.
It's true. It just is common sense here. It's unfortunate. Have you guys tracked, like, is it like millions of dollars, even locally, that is lost every year?
Oh, definitely.
Wow. That's sad, because that could be money that could help the family, really a real family member, or could help in your retirement and so on. People are just getting their their bank accounts cleaned out. That's incredible.
And then again, like you said, they're getting them cleaned out. Well, that's probably their retirement. So they're falling for these scams. Now they have nothing. And again, like we said, it's hard to trace these people.
So really, on the law enforcement side, it's very rare that a caller is gotten, is it?
Because, well, when you look at these numbers that they're using, they're buying into these big groups of numbers. So then when you go to, if you would get a search warrant, you know, if these numbers are being spoofed or whatever it may be, it's really leading you to nothing, a whole lot of nothing. And then the process of getting a search warrant, you know, is lengthy. It can be done, but again, what are you going to get at the end?
Wow. So, yeah, we really don't even have a it's very rare that you hear about a big arrest when it comes to scams like this, because a lot of times they're foreign actors.
Correct. And they do have local scams, too. And, you know, we could make arrests on those. Those are a lot easier. But again, like, these big ones are usually not locally.
No. All right, I got, like, 2 minutes with Trooper Schick here. Let's go over the basics again, if you would, of how people to protect themselves.
Just be very cautious when you're on the phone with people, especially if you don't know them. Do not give out your personal information, social security number, bank account numbers, really your full name. I mean, they might hit your first name, but don't give out that information. Challenge them if you want to. But again, if you don't recognize the number, just don't even answer it. Let it go to voicemail. If it's important, you can call back. Don't open those suspicious links, emails, things like that. They may look real, but again, if it's from your bank, go down in person and talk to your bank. Call the bank with a number that you actually know that goes to your bank, things like that. Again, don't be buying gift cards to pay bills or pay off debt, because that's not how we pay bills or pay debt. Okay, you're paying somebody else. You're giving them your money if you do that, and you're not going to get it back.
If you're a caregiver of an elderly person, you really need to insert yourself into this too, of like making sure that they're not off to the side, like let's say a romance type of thing. Make sure that your grandfather, your father, your widow father is not sending money just into the ether with gift cards, right?
Yep. I mean, absolutely. Look out for your elderly relatives, your parents, whatever it may be. And if it comes to a point where you have to be in charge of their, you know, their finances and their money, then that might be the step you have to take.
All right. It's sad to me that this is where our society has come to, but it's so sophisticated and it's really hard to stay on top of it. I'm glad that the state police is making this a priority. Appreciate it. All righty. Trooper Sydney Schick from Troop E, Pennsylvania State Police, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, you're welcome.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.